He wanted to interpret this Torah portion to us. So are we ready to hear the Master interpreting Re'eh for us? Because Re'eh, look, behold, starts with the very curses and blessings which are to be pronounced where? At the valley of decision making. The blessings on Mount Gerizim, the curses on Mount Ebal, are you following? And here Yeshua goes, and guess what? Coincidentally, he's tired in a certain place. Let's read it. He came to a city of Samaria which is called Sychar, and you can trust me that I'm a tour guide. Sychar is Shechem, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Yeshua, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat by the well. It was about the sixth hour. Almost now. What is now? Yeah. In 4 minutes it will be the sixth hour. Midday. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Yeshua said to her, "Give me a drink," for his disciples had gone away to the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans, like I told you." How is she immediately recognized that he is a Jew? Simply because he did not wear a jeans and had a guitar crossed on his chest. Beloved, he was a Jew of the Jews. And some scholars think the Jews back then went with their phylacteries all day long. Yep. For sure, kippah he did not have. Kippah is a modern thing. Yarmulke. But for sure, he may... I guess he had a talit. For sure, fringes. He looked a Jew! Beard. He looked a Jew. And this Samaritan is shocked. Did you just land from Venus? I don't know. I mean, don't you know what's happening here on planet Earth? Didn't you ever hear about the Samaritan-Israeli conflict? Let's continue. Yeshua answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, and by the way, now we start to deal with the natural level of understanding God's Torah and the spiritual level that Yeshua wants you to arrive, to reach. Are you with me? Because the Samaritan woman now is operating on a different broadcasting frequencies. She's on KVTA 900, while Yeshua is on I don't know what. Yeah, name it. Yeah, God's frequency, yeah. "My beloved, look at it, look at her." I mean, see what she has to say. Woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep." She is thinking naturally, while Yeshua spoke spiritually. She's thinking about fleshly, physical, tangible water, while he speaks about what this fleshly, tangible water points to is Ruach HaKodesh, is Holy Spirit. "Where did you get that living water? Are you greater?" By the way, living water was also synonymous to spring water and well water, okay? "So where do you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself?" By the way, who gave us the well? You see the tension? She's Samaritan. "Our father Jacob." Excuse me, lady is not your father. "Who gave us the well and drank from it himself as well as his sons and livestock?" Yeshua answered and said, "Now Yeshua, look at her." By the way, I really, really want you now to put yourself in her shoes, but not only in her shoes. I want you now to put yourself actually in this, I mean, as the Samaritan woman. We all human beings, and she represents all of us, we all need to move from the physical, natural, into the spiritual, in our understanding of God's holy Torah. Look what he tells her, and he tells us. Whoever drinks, verse 13, of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. Let's make a pause and go to the Haftarah of today, Isaiah 55, and see what Yeshua speaks about. My beloved, Yeshua never invented a new doctrine. There is no new doctrine in the New Testament. Whatever Yeshua taught was based on the Torah, Nevi'im, the Tanakh. Torah, prophets, and writings. So turn with me, please, to Isaiah 55. Okay, beloved, listen, please. Isaiah 55, verse 1. Ho, everyone who thirsts, the prophet says, come to the waters. Now, does he speak about tangible, physical water? Nope. How do I know it? I continue reading. And you who have no money, come buy and eat. Excuse me? Show me one of you now, daring to go to a grocery store, Walmart, yeah? Take bottled water, and then say to the cashier, hi, God told me I don't need to have money for it. Well, well, well. Of course he does not speak about physical water, but he speaks about what the physical water speaks of, or a picture of. Yes, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me, and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me, hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, the sure mercies of David. Beloved, back to John. Woman, if you would only know who am I, you would ask for me for those living waters that Isaiah spoke about. But you as Samaritan don't know about it, because they did not accept Isaiah as the word of God. So let's continue. Verse 15, John 4. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water that I may not thirst, nor come here to draw. Beloved, here she gets it. The coin falls. She understands this man is not like any other man. He speaks about, not this water. And she admits her need. Do you admit your, recognize your need? Are you thirsty? I'm not talking about the physical water. Because if when you drink physical water, in about 1 hour or two, you need another sip. Beloved, are we thirsty enough for the real water that the Torah points to? The Torah itself is not the living water. The Torah itself is only the shadow of things. It points us to the real water, the real source of water. One of the sins committed by the children of Israel forever was forsaking God, who is calling himself the living water, and I want to prove it to you. Jeremiah 17. It's important, even though it's a rabbi's trail. Jeremiah, yeah, I did not say rabbit's trail, but rabbi's trail. One of my tourists told me, stop calling it rabbit's trail, rabbi's trail. Look at Isaiah 17, verse 13. What did I say? Sorry. Look at Jeremiah. Thank you. Jeremiah 17, verse 13. Let me read it to you. O Lord, the hope of Israel. You know what's the word hope in Hebrew? Somebody speaks Hebrew here? Tikva comes from the same root of mikveh. Ritual bath. Mikveh. It comes from the root kavo, which is also hope. Why do you get baptized? You hope in the Lord that it will take your sins away. You will be purified before Him. Without hope and faith, you cannot do it, right? God calls Himself, yeah? The hope of Israel. All who forsake you shall be ashamed. Those who depart from me, says the Lord, shall be written in the earth because they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living waters. Please turn with me as you are in Jeremiah to Jeremiah 2, I think. Let's see. Yeah, it is. Jeremiah 2:13. Quickly. We are still in the rabbi's trail. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewn themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. Do you get it? The Samaritan woman gets it. You know how I know that she got it? Because she tells him, give it so I will not thirst, but that I don't even need to come and draw this water. What does she mean? She thinks that she will never thirst physically again? No! But she lived a sinful life, as we are going to see soon. She was ashamed, that's why she came on the sixth hour. She was excommunicated. She was at her end, so to speak. She was hopeless and she knew it. She recognized her terrible situation. And she understood that when Yeshua will give her those waters, all her shame will be washed away. Everything else will be okay. And she can join the other women. It was twilight, when the weather is much better, to come and draw the water. Are you with me? So let's continue. Yeshua said to her, go call your husband and come here. Beloved, it's not enough to will the water or to desire, to yearn for the living water of God, the spiritual water, yeah? Relationship with Him, intimacy with Him. You need to recognize, number one, your state, and number two, to specify your sin. And she does not try to overlook her sin when he tells her, go and call your husband. She could tell him, okay, I'm going. Okay, stay, I'm coming. Right? No. She is humble. Something fell. The coin fell in her mind. She is completely naked before him, so to speak. Nothing to hide. And she says, I have no husband. She admits her situation. She recognizes her sin. Yeshua said to her, you have well said, I have no husband. For you have had five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband. Remember I told you she lives in sin? In that you spoke truly. The woman said to him, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worship on this mountain, Mount Gerizim, you remember? Mount Blessings. And you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship. Yeshua said to her, Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. Did you hear me, O Yeshua? Nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know, and I love Yeshua because he's never politically correct. He pinpoints the problem. He tells her, you are ignorant. No doubt about it, yeah? We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, please listen. And now is. This now is was given 2,000 years ago. How much more it now it is now? Are you with me? 2,000 years ago he told her, now is the time when the true worshippers, do you want to be considered a true worshipper of God, yes or no? So put the emphasis where emphasis should be put. We'll worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. The woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming. The coin continues to fall. Who is called Messiah? Anointed one. When he comes, he will tell us all things. Yeshua said to her, I who speak to you am he. I mean, there are scholars today who say, oh, Yeshua never said that he is the Messiah. Blah, 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 blah. Yeshua said clearly, I who speak to you am he. Whom? Messiah. She just spoke about Messiah. But friends, let's continue with what we started, the living waters. Are you thirsty for his living water? If you are thirsty, you must understand one thing. The Torah speaks, relates, and points to the natural, the soulish level. Oh, give me this water. Oh, it's in Jerusalem. You are in Angerizim, we are in Jerusalem, the other ones are I don't know where. Yeah? Religion. While Yeshua, the greater interpreter of the Torah, comes to you and says, actually, look a bit higher. All that the Torah is foreshadows of things to come, which are much greater, because I, Yeshua, did not come. And I know, by the way, it's not easy. It won't be easy to some of you to hear what I'm going to say now. Hang on before you pick up the stone. Yeshua says, I did not come to improve Judaism. For sure, I did not come to create a new religion system called Christianity, pagan Christianity. Neither those I came. I did not come to Jerusalem on earth or Mount Gerizim, so to speak. I came to reverse the process, tragic process which started long before the Torah was even given at the Garden of Eden. I am second Adam. I am the last Adam. Your forefathers, Adam and Eve, were neither Jew nor Gentile. Can you imagine Adam with fringes and Eve with eating egg and bacon for breakfast? Stupidity! There were no, in the Garden of Eden, please get it, there was no Jew nor Gentile. In the Garden of Eden, there was a full harmony between the Creator, Spirit, and His creation, us, and animals, and everybody. All creation yearning eagerly for the revelation of the sons of God. Right? Yeah. Romans tells us. Romans 8. Beloved, Yeshua is second Adam. Yeshua came to bring us back to the pre-sin garden conditions. where there was a full harmony. Now, when this full harmony was disturbed by Adam's sins, are you following? It's like, and by the way, rabbis agree. I mean, I agree with the rabbis. Who am I? They say what I say. Shekinah glory left. And the two Jerusalemized, Yerushalayim, too. You know, by the way, in the Bible, it's not Yerushalayim. In the Bible, it's Jerusalem. Yerushalem. Shalem. Complete. We made it Yerushalayim, two Jerusalems, plural, because Jerusalem, 10,000 miles away, points to the Jerusalem which is in heaven. The temple which was erected by King Solomon, later on Herod, yeah? My friends, was only a foreshadow of the heavenly temple. Yeah. Yeshua, when he tells us in the book of Hebrews, you know, that his sacrifice was much better than the bulls and all this, yeah? In his blood he went, and actually his flesh was the parochet, the veil, which was tore for us, so we can go where? To the Holy of Holies. But where? In Jerusalem? The physical? No. In Jerusalem, physical, only Levites could do. Only priests. Tribe of Levi, right? No! He came to bring us much higher, above tribes, above nations, above entities, back to the pre-sin garden condition where there was no Jew, no Gentile, no black, no whatever. All there was full harmony, beloved. That's what he came to do, Yeshua. He did not come to improve Judaism or to create other religion systems. Yeshua is second Adam. We need to put emphasis where emphasis is to be put, yeah? Yes, good to keep the Sabbath as long as you are reminded that the Sabbath is only a foreshadow of the eternal Sabbath rest with God. And God is calling us to this reality every day of the week. It's good to look to Jerusalem as long as you remember that Jerusalem is a reminder of the heavenly Jerusalem, which one day together with Messiah will come and poof, harmony again will exist on planet Earth when Satan is tied and thrown into the pit for 1,000 years. The sabbatical millennium. Beloved, how many husbands did she have? Five is a number which is very significant. Unlike Christians like to say, please hold on to your stones again. Christians say, oh, five? Number of grace. Because of the five porticos in the Bethesda pools, you know, blah, blah. It's not true. Five is rather a picture or a number of the five books of Moses. You remember she is Samaritan? You cannot judge her for not knowing the Torah. Are you listening? Samaritans keep the Torah. She married five husbands according to God's requirements, which means, you know, but she, every time she failed. Every relationship failed. So she decided to kick it out. Heck with this! I'm fed up! I'm going to live like full human. Number six. Are you with me? Yes, the sixth is not your husband. You're right. You just live with him. Heck with marriage system. Heck with God. Heck with everything. There is nothing. I'm hopeless. Look, I'm excommunicated. All the other husbands did not care for me, did not love on me, did not protect me. I'm left alone, so I will leave, you know, leave today because tomorrow I'm going to die. Live and eat, you know, drink and eat today. She goes completely to humanity. Six. Number of humanity. And here comes when she is at the end of herself, when she is really thirsty for the real thing, number seven comes. God, who became flesh for the lost humanity. And he says, marry me, I'm the real husband. I will not let you down. I will not only protect you, love on you, give you all you need, but with me you will have everlasting life, everlasting. Fountains of living waters will flow out of you. You will not need to work so hard in order for others to accept you. You will not need to be ashamed when you come to draw the water, physical water, because I will supply you not only with the physical water, but with what the physical water actually points to. Relationship with me, the living God, the fountain of Israel.
Arim rashchem ve yavo melech hakavod.